Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for sea and get underway. Emmett O'Brien was a professional race car driver for the VW Group and BMW, where he competed in the World and European Touring Car Championships. And he also raced for Ferrari.
Emmett O'Brien then drove into the world of entrepreneurship by focusing on that key business success principle of building a better mousetrap.
Emmett found that mousetrap in the large fragmented market segment of car washing. The cleaning industry wastes a huge amount of water, a big green world opportunity.
Emmett O'Brien ecopreneured through this opportunity by developing a waterless car solution that is taking the market by storm. And he has a fascinating startup story to share.
So greetings, Emmett O'Brien. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
Thanks for coming on our show.
Where are you connecting in from?
I'm connecting in from Miami. I just routed back from Dublin, Ireland last night. So I live in Miami now. So it's great. Been here about 6 months. Really great, great reception since arriving here. So happy to be here.
Great.
So a beautiful tropical paradise to recover from some jet lag then.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a tough 2 weeks in Ireland. So, I don't know if you know of our weather, but it's not anything like Miami. So yeah, great to be back in the heat.
Great. We've had a lot of different backgrounds fall into entrepreneurship, lawyers, engineers, mompreneurs, starving actors, but never a race car driver. Emmett, how did your journey start?
Yeah, great question, Charlene. I mean, I started when I was a kid racing go-karts, worked my way right up to the World Touring Car Championships. And, you know, I got lucky. I got a couple of lucky breaks and we had some great sponsors along the way. And it carried me to a certain level. I got to the World Championships, the European Championships, and had relative success there. And always knew that it wouldn't be, you know, a lifetime sport. It's not, unfortunately, sport has a lifespan with it. So I kind of realized, you know, when I was getting into my early 30s that, okay, I need to start a business. So, and the opportunity I saw through racing, I saw some products being demonstrated and a light bulb moment went off and just started from there.
Hey, any of the skills that these unique skills you have with, you know, driving a race car and racing like that, anything in particular help you that transitioned over to being an entrepreneur?
Sure, Richard. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't do university or I didn't do college. So the lessons I learned in racing was my business lesson. So, you know, you have to learn how to, even with you guys, talk to media, talk to team managers, negotiate with sponsors. And then when you're out in the circuit, you're actually fighting all the time for position. And it's no different in business. You're fighting all the time for position. So it's,
I like that. You're fighting for position on the racetrack. And yeah, Now you're fighting for position in a market. That's a good analogy. And then I imagine, like, you know, it's kind of a quasi celebrity and there's a lot of public relations involved. And that's such a critical part of being an entrepreneur. So that was a natural fit too.
Yeah, I got schooled really well in that and driving with the likes of BMW, VW Group, Ferrari. I mean, those guys, you always have to be happy and smiley in front of the camera, whether it's a good result or bad result. So, you know, I schooled really well there. And it stood very well to me and it transfers into business for sure. I mean, I'm not the first racing driver to become a businessman. So it's, it is a good schooling. Very different, very, very different to the normal businessman approach, but we get by okay.
Then good things transitioned over. Well, Emmett, let's learn more about your innovative product that saves 132 liters of water per wash. How did you succeed with developing a technological product like a waterless car solution?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I was in the right place at the right time. I saw a demonstration at a racetrack where they were demonstrating a waterless product at a race circuit on a racing car. And, you know, everything from racing cars eventually finds its way down to road cars. So if you've got NASCAR or IndyCar, they're usually developing bits and pieces on the cars that eventually, you know, will be put into your road cars that you drive. Safety, performance, all kinds of gizmos end up on the road cars. And it's no different in car washing. I saw this opportunity about 12 years ago, and I thought, wow, I mean, there has to be a gap in the market, because, you know, I've been cleaning my cars for years with tons and tons of water, like 30 gallons of water. And I just kind of thought to myself, I'm no eco warrior, but I thought, you know, water is a commodity. This won't last forever. There has to be a gap here. So that's where I saw the technology first, and we got in business with the company who had developed it. And they didn't really want to market it the way I wanted to market it. So we ended up doing a brilliant business relationship where we bought the IP rights. They became a small partner in our business, and we moved on from there. And it's worked really, really well. And, you know, it's been a long road. We're 11 years on the business, and we've just been developing in different countries, different markets, expanding all the time. And now, you know, we're the largest commercial car wash supplier in Ireland. We have the most amount of locations. We're in Czech Republic, Dubai. We're expanding pretty rapidly. So it's been a really exciting road. But, you know, the first 2 years were certainly challenging when you bring new technology.
So in your case, it was the product was already out there. You kept your eyes open on what was there and saw a new fit for a product that was already in a narrow niche market of race car driving, and you expanded it from there. So that's a very good, smart way to launch, by capitalizing on something that was already in the market.
Sure. I mean, we didn't, and I don't claim to have invented the product. I just saw the product, saw the opportunity, kind of clever business model, and went to the guys, and we eventually did a deal where we bought the IP, and they get a nice royalty out of it, and it just protected the business, no H2O.
There's a lot of people tinkering around in their garages trying to invent things, and they never get out of your garage. You found a good product and have, you know, the key thing is to market it, and that's where the real opportunity is.
Yeah, so true. And it's great business advice, I think, to give the young entrepreneur. They don't have to invent the idea. They can take another idea and make it better. You know, Apple weren't the first guys to come out with the iPod or right, you know, storing digital music, but they perfected it. So I'm not comparing us to Apple or anything like that, but it's sort of in that same realm.
Well, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show sponsor, Deborah Kay of Global Venture Services. Deborah Kay is one of the network marketing industry's top executives. She has worked with hundreds of aspiring home-based entrepreneurs to achieve business success. She has a simple system that you can follow. For more information, visit www.workparttimelivefulltime.com or our podcast webpage for more information on sponsors.
Now, Emmett, what was your biggest business challenge in developing a better mousetrap with your waterless product, and how did you overcome it? So speaking more on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we did face so many challenges at the beginning, because we set up, what we wanted to do was set up a car wash within a parking lot. So we knew that there's a captive audience, there's going to be cars coming and going all the time, and to offer these services. But we went to every parking lot operator in pretty much Europe, and they laughed at us in the early days. They were like, guys, you can't wash cars with no water. it was one of the biggest operators. I think they took pity on me, to be honest with you. And they said, look, we'll give you a shot. We'll give you one parking lot, set it up there. And then we had the challenge of actually demonstrating to the customer that this can be done, because the first thing that springs to mind, okay, you're using no water, is it going to scratch my car? Is it going to damage my car? So there was an educational process in that. So it's kind of a two-pronged attack. We had to get into a parking lot, then we had to get the customers. But I mean, we persevered with it, got some good customers on, got some great testimonials, started to expand very quickly. When the parking lot operators saw it working, they were like, okay, there's a revenue stream in this for them as well.
Well, you know, they talk a lot about in business about pushing versus pulling, you know, trying to push your product in vice getting it pulled in. And, you know, the advantage is you want to try to get your product pulled into the market. It sounds like that's what you were able to do, that all you had to do is get your product out there. And once people could see it, it was pulled into the market vice having to try to push something all the time.
Sure. Okay. Initially it was push. And it was push as hard as we can. And it was, you know, sometimes you just didn't think that door was going to open. But eventually then it started to become a pull. You know, it was you know, car park operators looking for us, even big commercial customers saying we've heard about this product. And, you know, it starts to run, you get a bit of momentum and the ball starts rolling. So the initial years, I think it's no different to any business. So Richard, I mean, early stage, if it's a new innovative product, you're going to be faced with challenges. You know, it's not for everyone, but I think the guys who persevere really make it.
Right. Well, you know, Emma, we advise entrepreneurs that no matter what your business or amount of competition, to always look for a unique selling point. Emma, how did you capitalize on your unique selling point?
So, yeah, that's an interesting one, because initially we went in totally, we're green, waterless, we don't use any water, and we thought that was the angle to go with. But in fact, we were too early with it. People didn't care that much about the environment that we thought they did. So then we had to pivot and we had to say, okay, our unique selling point is actually it's a better finish than a normal car wash. And that really worked for us. But we made, you know, and entrepreneurs do, we make mistakes at the beginning. You got to pivot quickly and change direction. And that's what we did. And we've seen over the last 10 years a real shift in the environmental impact. And now the consumer is environmentally aware. Like, they know that water is it's a commodity. You just can't waste 30 gallons of water washing a car. And then it goes into the drainage system with a load of effluent and chemical. It just doesn't make sense. So we concentrated on our USP as being a better finish at the beginning. That really worked for us. And now we're kind of pivoting a little bit back to where we started in saying environmentally, it's so, so good for the environment.
I kind of like, you almost have like two unique selling points. One that's tough to sell, that being the environment. I mean, everybody wants to do the right thing, but you found another point that you actually had a better product that would do better than a, you know, a traditional water-based car wash.
Sure.
So, you know, you use that to lead, but then, you know, as time goes on, that waterless aspect is just getting more and more important.
You got it, Moen. That's exactly what we did. And we kind of had to make that decision sort of quickly after 12 months, but it worked for us, you know, and it was just, it's shows how sensitive marketing can be, but it worked for us, luckily.
So in today's world of instant online connections, building a better mousetrap also means building a mobile phone app. Emmett, how easy was it to get the app developed to serve your customer base?
Yeah, this is where I think I was, you know, totally negligent to the fact that I thought it was going to be an easy ride to build an app and to go out and bring developers on. These guys, I mean, as brilliant as our team is, they talk a different language than I talk. And I love everything done yesterday, and that wasn't the case. So started developing it, Trillane, in 2016. We put a team of guys on it in Ireland, and we're lucky because there's all the big US tech companies are based in Ireland. A, because we're a brilliant country and we're lovely people, and I think there might be a tax reason behind it as well, but they're all there. So we were able to pull from that pool of talent and build up a team there that built our app. And it was a lot of, you know, testing, and we're still continually testing it, but it's a bespoke app. It's on demand, which again goes back to USP. Our main USP, which is kind of developed, is convenience aspect. So because we're waterless, you guys could be having, you know, a coffee in a Starbucks. You could be at the office. You could be at home. You can call a car wash on demand through the app, pay for it. You never have to meet the detailer. He'll clean the car. You'll get before and after photos. And then he'll drive off. You pay through the app and you can tip through the app.
So the app you have developed, it's not just something to link you to technology and kind of connect there, which is all great. It's actually a critical part of how you deliver your services with the car wash.
Exactly. It's actually the way we're moving the business. I mean, everything is convenience now. You can, you know, get your food online, book flights online, Uber, Lyft. They've really changed the gig economy. And, you know, we're not a tech company. We're just tech enabled. And I know it's a bit of a buzzword at the moment, but we're not. We're a manufacturer of a waterless product, and we're delivering that product through app technology. And it's been an amazing ride for the last 2 years. And now we're launching it in the US, which is really exciting for us.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Emmett. You know, you have taken the big leap into franchising your business model and expanding into the United States. How's that expansion working out?
It's going really well. I mean, it's early days. So we're here 6 months. We've been doing some low level, just promotion of the business. We've been doing a lot of testing of our app in different regions just to make sure that it lands perfectly. And we've got some nice contracts. So we've just landed a big contract out in California with the largest tech company on the planet. I'm sure you can guess who it is. And we'll provide car washing services for their 30,000 plus staff. So we've been so well accepted into the US and the franchising model fits for US. I mean, we've been franchising in Europe for some years and it's been very successful, but we're kind of coming with a new approach that it's the parking lot and the on-demand, which is a franchise package, and it'll go into each city. So, you know, our plans are pretty aggressive. We'll go into 24 cities in the next 24 months, which takes a lot of capital and recruiting really good franchisees. That's the key to it. I mean, we could have sold any number of franchises by now, but it's finding the right franchisee to fit our model.
Yeah, you know, I hear that more and more because, you know, with the franchise model, it's more expensive and, you know, there's a lot more hurdles you have to wade through. But it increases your probability of success. And I have heard about a lot of franchises. They actually, you know, have more potential franchise people wanting to be to buy into the franchise and what they accept, because you've got to make sure that, you know, it's going to be a good fit that represents you well.
This is it. And I mean, you know, franchising seems like an easy way to accelerate your business growth. But I mean, there is a lot of stuff you got to wade through, the FDD, federal disclosure documents that you got to register in each state, and there's a lot of groundwork to it. But I think if you do all that and you do it right, I mean, franchising is unregulated in Europe, which is incredible to me now looking at how the US do it. It's better that it's regulated, but there's more red tape. But finding the right franchisee is really important. And I think our model is it's super new, but you know, we're backing it up with about $250,000 of advertising spend in the first 2 years. The franchisee has to match that. So really hitting the ground running. And the franchisees seem to love that because, you know, we're putting in just as much as they are. And I think that's very important for franchising.
I guess, as they say, everybody has skin in the game.
That's it. You know, you don't got skin in the game, you don't care as I see it. So, we've been promoting and the interest has been phenomenal and it's finding the right people. I mean, the love of cars here in the US, I mean, you guys invented the car. And if you look at it, it's 2 to 3 registered cars per household. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful market for us.
This has been a great discussion on journey from race car driver to ecopreneur. Emmett, do you have any final points you would like to share with our audience?
No, just like, look, thanks for having me on the show. And I love to see new entrepreneurs coming up. And if there's any advice that I can give is just, you know, keep fighting. You know, if you really believe in what you're doing, keep going and keep pushing. It'll happen. That's what I believe.
Emmett O'Brien, thanks for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on our show. To learn more about Emmett O'Brien and his innovative waterless car wash product opportunity, visit www.noh2o.com or our podcast website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors for more information. Visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.